And now in Minneapolis, Minnesota, rescuers are still searching for victims of a bridge that collapsed there yesterday over the Mississippi River. As many as 30 people are still missing, and officials say they don't know what caused the collapse. Hennepin County Sheriff Rich Stanek spoke to reporters this morning.
We're not ruling anything in. We're also not ruling anything out. Again, this is a crime scene as far as we're concerned, until we know the exact cause of the bridge collapse last night. All indications are collapse, not an act of someone doing it, but we've got investigators working it along with Minneapolis police, federal law enforcement officials. We receive briefings fairly regularly this morning and last night from our federal partners.
For the remainder of this hour, we'd like to hear from our listeners in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. We like to think that this citizen journalism thing started with talk radio. So if you live near the bridge or saw it collapse or have seen the site of the disaster, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. What did the scene look like? Did you take photographs or video? 800-989-8255. We're joined by Julia Schrenkler, an interactive producer for Minnesota Public Radio. She's been working on the network's coverage of the bridge collapse, and she's gathered images and video from citizen journalists in the Twin Cities. Julia Schrenkler joins us from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul. Welcome.
Thank you, Rebecca. Hello.
Is this asking for contributions from your audience something Minnesota Public Radio does a lot, or is this something of a test case for you?
This is actually part of our mission, and we're interactive. Radio is interactive. As you mentioned, talk show, they create certain relationships. And the thing about the relationship is that the audience sees and covers news all the time, whether or not they share the story with each other or even with news organizations such as ourselves. So they actually volunteer this, images, stories, perspectives. However, NPR does target and ask people to do that. We open that avenue with our public insight journalism and our Your Voice section.
And what have you been seeing, hearing from listeners about the bridge?
Amazing, amazing perspectives. Some of the images that come in from via our form or are shared via Flickr are simply striking. People are really able to understand and see a story as it unfolds in front of them, such as individuals who were at the scene not only took pictures of the bridge itself or the rescue efforts, but they turned the camera on the spectators and got glimpses of the reactions. And that's photojournalism. I mean, anytime someone steps up to the plate and shares not only what they see, but what they see and how it communicates the story, it's just amazing, amazing work. People are incredibly resourceful and are developing quite an eye for how a story unfolds.
Do you think it's a different perspective than a professional photojournalist would bring?
I think it's a varied perspective, different in that it's very human, it's very direct, and people are able to respond immediately to what they see and share much of it. A photojournalist might structure things a little bit differently or take more photos, but it's very visceral and immediate from the individuals that we're talking about.
Julia Schrenkler, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Julia Schrenkler is the interactive producer for Minnesota Public Radio. She joined us from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio. Let's hear from John in St. Paul. John, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Were you there in St. Paul when the bridge collapsed?
I was in St. Paul when the bridge collapsed. I had heard about it on the radio, and I probably arrived. I grabbed my son, who is 8 years old, and I said, "We have to go look at this. This is something that is historic in nature, and we have to go see if we can help." And we went down there, and there were hundreds, thousands of people really gathering around the bridge site, and it was hard to get a glimpse of it because of the way it's situated on the river. It's situated just beyond a bend from the St. Paul side. So we went down by the University of Minnesota and found our way down onto a walking bridge from which we could see the wreckage quite clearly. Thousands of university students were crowding the bridge, And when I got a look at what the wreckage looked like, it was surreal. My first thought was terrorist attack because of the way that the girders were skewed at a 90-degree angle to the bridge. This was not a situation that you would imagine where the bridge fell straight down. Everything was twisted, and there was smoke everywhere, and it looked like there might have been an explosion.
And so you made the decision that you thought it was important for your 8-year-old to see it rather than be shielded from it.
Absolutely, yeah. This is something he's never going to forget, and it's an important lesson in human nature, human fallibility. In the Twin Cities, we cross the Mississippi. Some of us, especially those of us who live in St. Paul and rely on Minneapolis for our work, we cross the bridge maybe 6 to 10 times a day, depending on how busy we are. And we take it for granted. We don't even think about it. And I thought it was an important lesson for him, and also something that he's never going to forget. Just seeing something like that is really historic.
John, thanks for your call. Let's hear from Bryce in St. Paul. Bryce, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hi, thanks.
I understand you were on the bridge?
Yeah, well, I was just in front of the bridge. I was heading southbound on 35W, heading to the Twins game. And the first thing I saw was the street signs above the bridge start to fall, and then I saw pavement come up. So my view was obstructed at that point, but I knew that a bridge had collapsed. And I wasn't exactly sure which bridge it was, because I wasn't exactly, I wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. It was stop-and-go traffic, bumper to bumper. But I quickly realized that it was the bridge over the Mississippi River. And they diverted traffic, and to get across the river, I had to take 10th Avenue, which is a bridge that runs exactly parallel to 235W Bridge. And then I got a glimpse of what had actually happened. And it was terrifying, because if I hadn't gone and brushed my teeth before I left, if I hadn't, put a new Band-Aid on, I would have been on there. I was less than a minute from being on there. It was pretty terrifying.
And did you hear anything? Was there a sound?
No, not at all. I was less than 100 feet away, about maybe 100 feet, and I didn't hear anything. No explosions or anything. I did not think terrorism at all. And some people that were on it were saying that they heard some low rumbling, but that's pretty consistent with a bridge falling. So.
And do you cross the Mississippi all the time?
Yeah, all the time. I live on the east side of the Twin Cities, so I'm usually crossing on the other side, but I frequent Minneapolis, so I'm using it all the time, and never ever had anything like that cross my mind, of course.
Well, Bryce, I'm glad you're okay, and thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to. Thanks.
We're also joined now by Eric Brandt. He heard about the bridge 20 minutes after it collapsed, and he was there 40 minutes after it collapsed with his camera. He submitted his photographs to NPR.org, Minnesota Public Radio's website, and he joins us by telephone. Eric Brandt, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
How did you hear about the collapse?
I actually just got home from work, and my roommate got a call from her mom saying that bridge had collapsed, and I didn't really know the magnitude at first. I didn't turn on the TV or anything. I just got on my bike with my camera and rode down to see what I could see, and I figured it was just, a small portion had collapsed because I knew they were doing some work on 35. But when I got there, it was just, completely unbelievable scene. I mean, the bridge was completely down. People were already starting to gather, especially on the pedestrian bridge over the Mississippi. It seemed like everybody had their cameras taking pictures, and everybody's on their cell phone. I couldn't make a call out to anybody to tell them I was okay, and I'm sure people were trying to get a hold of me. So it was a pretty crazy scene.
There's a photograph on the NPR site that you snapped of a woman sitting on a hillside, and she's sort of looking down on the wreckage, but it's also all around her. It's hard from our perspective, not being there, to understand how you could sort of be in the middle of that. Can you describe what you saw?
Yeah, I was trying to get down to get a little bit better angle for some photos, and I noticed a lot of people walking down towards the river. The police hadn't really closed off the scene yet completely, and so I sort of gathered along the bank with some other people taking pictures, and we were able to walk down, and I just noticed this woman sitting on a rock watching it, and she must have been there only about 30 seconds before a police officer came and moved her away, and then we had to go back up on the bank.
And are you a photographer by hobby, by training, by
it's
career?
Hobby. Yeah.
So what made you decide to submit your pictures?
I'm sorry?
What made you decide to post your pictures, submit your pictures?
I actually posted them on my Flickr account about 2 or 3 hours after the collapse, and I noticed that there weren't, on many of the metro area news sites, there weren't a whole lot of photos that had good quality pictures. Most of them were stills from film captures. And so I just decided, you know, maybe I'll send them my link and see if they're interested in using any of them, and I know several were.
And were there people taking pictures with their cell phones and just trying to get anything they could?
Yeah, it seems like almost everybody down there had a camera of some sort, handheld, high-quality digital photos. Some people had tripods, so I'm sure everybody was trying to get a picture of the scene.
Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Eric Brandt is citizen journalist, amateur photographer from St. Paul. He joined us on the phone from his home in the Minneapolis-St. Paul Twin Cities. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's take some more calls. This is Mike in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. Mike, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Yeah, I just passed the site. Actually, I was commuting from Minneapolis to Cottage Grove, which is a small suburb southeast of St. Paul. And the interviewer told me that they're interested in how people are feeling. Just a small group of people that I've talked to is just that commuting around the Twin Cities, there's lots and lots of bridges to go everywhere. If you commute between St. Paul and Minneapolis, southern suburbs, northern, east, and west, and because the Mississippi River kind of snakes through the Twin Cities. And I know some people were kind of commenting today at the meeting I was at, like, they were kind of like, is this bridge going to collapse? I think it's not knowing why it collapsed. You know, some people were thinking terrorism, is it structural, or all those things. So I guess the feeling is, at least from people I've talked to today, that they're kind of concerned about, you know, is this an isolated incident? Because, like I said, you know, just to get around the Twin Cities area, there's a lot of bridges people have to cross, and that was kind of my comment. And
do you know people who decided to stay home today rather than get on a bridge while they're still feeling jumpy?
I'm a teacher, and actually I was doing some negotiation contracts meeting today, and I live in a suburb of St. Paul that I teach in Minneapolis, and I noticed that a lot of the roads when I was going in for this meeting today seemed kind of bare, and it was 35W is actually blocked off for a couple miles north of the bridge, and crossing out there's some overpasses, kind of spooky seeing the road so blank. It's almost just like a ghost town. And when I went past there about 20 minutes ago, there's lots of people with cameras, people just kind of coming out and looking and seeing what the destruction is, and it's kind of an odd, eerie sight seeing the bridge kind of buckling up far above where it's normally kind of flat and a lot of traffic going over. So,
well, Mike, thanks for your call. Let's hear from Teresa in Minneapolis. Teresa, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. This is Teresa from Minneapolis. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a lifelong resident of Minnesota and on that stretch of highway on a very regular basis. It could have been any of us. But a lot of the reaction and the concern seems to be about who is responsible for the structural integrity of that bridge and all the bridges here and across the country. There seems to be a lot of finger-pointing going on today between the state and the federal authorities, and while the politicians are all jockeying for position, you know, I want to know about, I want a list of every bridge in Minnesota, and I want to know which ones are structurally compromised, because I won't be going on them, and I will recommend other people don't.
And were you sort of a nervous bridge driver before this?
No. In fact, that particular stretch of road, you wouldn't realize it was a bridge because it's part of a highway. And so, for example, you aren't looking right down into the river. I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that that was a bridge. It's actually a highway that adjoins.
Teresa, thanks for your call. Let's hear from Adam in Minnesota. Adam, welcome to Talk of the Nation. Adam, are you there?
Yeah, this is Adam.
Hi, Adam. You're on the air.
Hi. I was down there yesterday. I was about delivering subs about a block and a half away, and as I was giving signing the credit card slips for the delivery, all the kids came running out of the house, and I felt a low rumble, and they're like, "Do you feel that?" And I said, "Yeah, I felt it." And we saw a huge plume of smoke, or smoke, cloud of smoke coming over towards us, and I got back in my car to drive back to the store and got on University Avenue. And when I looked over, I saw I could barely see the bridge through the smoke, but I usually look over and see two bridges, the 10th Avenue Bridge and the highway, there was only one, and I looked down, and I could see what happened.
And what did you think had happened?
I had no idea. At first, I just thought there was an explosion. The kids thought that a plane had crashed or something, anything that would shake the ground, like an earthquake or something, and even now, I'm still in shock from it. It's crazy.
And do you have to cross bridges a lot?
Yeah, I cross bridges every day here, and I'm going to be nervous about it, I think, for a while.
And then when you stop being nervous, you're going to be annoyed about 35 West being closed.
Yeah, well, maybe. We'll see how that goes. I would really be happy if they could find or get to the bottom of exactly what would happen and make sure this never happens again.
Adam, thanks for your call, and thanks to everyone who participated in helping us understand what it looks like and sounds like there in Minneapolis. NPR News will be following this story throughout the day. You can find more at our website as well for a list of notable bridge disasters and an in-depth look at why bridges collapse. Go to npr.org. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington.